Okay, we're going to start here on the Mishnah Lamed Daled Amud Aleph. Ro'et HaKoi Ba'amar. So Koi is a animal that's known throughout the Mishnah that is a Suffolk Behema or Suffolk Chaya that the Chamin were unsure as to its status, whether it belongs in the category of Behema of domesticated animals or Chaya or in the wild animals. The difference between a Behema and a Chaya has to do with two issues. One is the Kisui Adam, and number two is the Isur Chaylev, because Isur Chaylev only applies to Behemoth, and the requirement for Kisui Adam only applies to Chayot. So there'll be a Nafkamina, whether this is considered a Chaya or a Behemoth. The last Nafkamina has to do with what you can then have the animal reproduce with, meaning what's a correct mate or match for it, that it will not be considered Kila'ayim. So that's one possibility. And the last possibility in Chazal is that it's a Bria B'Snei Atzmo, that it's its own category. It doesn't fall into the category of Behema or Chaya, but it's its own category. So here we have this animal, this Ra'at HaKoi. We see this animal, Ba'amar, Harei Nazir Shezeh Chaya. The person says that I'm a Nazir if this is in the classification of Chaya. Harei Nazir Shezeh Eino Chaya. Another person says I'm a Nazir if it's not in the classification of Chaya, but must be in the classification of Behema. The next person says Harei Nazir Shezeh Behema. I'm a Nazir that this is in the category of Behema, of domesticated animals, right? Harani Nazir, and then the next fourth says that I'm a Nazir of Enze Behema, that this is not in the category of Behema, but rather in the category of Chaya. So just the opposite of what we said above. Harani Nazir Shezeh Chaya U Behema, a person says I'm a Nazir if it's both a Chaya and a Behema, has characteristics of both. Harani Nazir Shezeh Lo Chaya V'lo Behema, or I'm a Nazir that it's in neither. I mean, that in the case of Chaya and Behema, that we are Misopik, both for Kisui Adam and for not eating the Chaylev. So it is like a Chaya Behema. On the other hand, it's aimed at low Chaya below Behema. It's not like a Chaya, not like a Behema, because we don't allow you to mix it or match it with another animal, because we're unsure as to what its min or its category is, and therefore it'll be Kilayim. Hareni Nazir Shechad Mikem Nazir. I'm a Nazir that one of you is a Nazir. Hareni Nazir She'enachad Mikem Nazir. And I'm a Nazir if one of you is not a Nazir. Hareni Nazir Shekuchem Nazirim. So number 9 says, I'm a Nazir if all of you are Nazirim. Harei kulam nizirim. They are all nizirim. Now, who's the author of this Mishnah? So there's one possibility that this Mishnah goes according to Beit Shammai. It's very similar to the Mishnah we just had previously, in the case by the person walking towards them. In that case, we have a nizirut b'ta'ut, or a nizirut of uncertainty. In that case, Beit Shammai says they're all kulam nizirim, whereas Beit Hillel says, no, only the ones whose conditions were fulfilled are considered a Nazir. Now, both the Mefarish and Tosfos bring down here a possibility that this even goes according to Beit Hillel. Beit Hillel Aliba de Rabbi Shimon. Right? That's the Tosfos says this is Beit Hillel according to Rabbi Shimon. We just saw in the previous Gemara that Rabbi Shimon believes that a Suffolk Nazirus were Machmir for. So it's over here. Here you have a Suffolk. You have a doubt as to whether this person's a Nazir. Now, here the doubt doesn't come because of the conditions that the person set. There's not a mistake or a ta'ut in their Nizirut as opposed to the previous mission. But in this mission, the safek comes because this animal is unidentifiable. Since that safek comes with unidentifiable, even Beit Hillel is going to agree in this case that all these people are Nizirim. But they're not Nizirim Vadaim. They're not definite Nizirim, but they're Nizirim safek. And if we hold like Rabbi Shimon that Safek Nazir is the Hachmir, then all these people will be Nizirim Mitzad Chumra of Rabbi Shimon. That's the way Tosfos learns. The Farish brings down from his Mora that over here the Mishnah would go according to Beit Hillel, not according to Rabbi Shimon, but Beit Hillel in general. Because we can differentiate between a case, I'll read you here, it's in the widest line, the first widest line in the Mefarish. V'amar lanu ha-moreh, d'hach d'stam asnisen d'hach, mitok ma'afilu de Beit Hillel. This Mishnah here is even according to Beit Hillel. D'akon lo pligi Beit Hillel, alayot Beit Shimon el b'taut hekdesh. Only when there's a mistake about the suffix hekdesh, over here, where there's just a suffix, going hacha, then you're doing koize min chayo min behema. What's the status or the category of this? Karmar mar koi lo yachriu bel chachamim imin behema hu imin chayo hu. We don't have any definitive decision about it. I feel Beit Hillel, Moshe Davi Nazir, even Beit Hillel will agree that it is a Nazir. So you see here from here, that's not even according, even without Rabbi Shimon, that Beit Hillel believes that here you will be a Nazir according to the Mefaresh. Because Beit Hillel only says, or does not believe that Hekdesh Ta'ut, when you make a mistake, then it's not Hekdesh. You make a mistake in Nazirut, that's not Nazirut. But over here, it's not an issue of you making a mistake, it's an issue that the object on which you dig in Nazirut is unidentifiable and we'll never know. And therefore we can never really clarify what your statement was about. So even Beit Hillel would agree in this case. Now the Gemara says, Tani Chazat Tisha Nazirim, Tanya Idoch Tisha Naziriot. So we have two versions of our Mishnah. One Mishnah says that in this case there are nine different Nizirim, that we create nine Nizirim. And they have another Mishnah that says that we have nine Nizirim, which implies that one person is able to create nine Nizirim. Bishlama Tisha Nizirim, in the case of nine Nizirim, can go into Havi Gavri Tvei. The Bizvazil Bey, that's not a problem because we have all the cases in our Mishnah, and these can be nine different individuals that take such an eder. Elatation is a riot, l'chad gavra, hecha mishkafla. How can we have the possibility of one person actually creating all nine of these nizirot that are found in our Mishnah? Bishlo mashit mishkafla, the first six make sense, because the person can make those statements. Because it's nine, as we have in our Mishnah, about slat, the last three, how can he say that? He says, if all of you, I am a nazir, if one of you is a nazir. I am a nazir, if none of you are a nazir. Or I am a nazir, that all of you are nazir. Those are statements made about third parties. You can't say that one individual says that about himself. He already took these nidri nazirot. He can't say that all that you said. What you said is me. He said it. All right. So because not. So what do we do with that? So Amar Rav Sheshi is going to Amar Rei Nazir bin Nizirut Hakol Alai. So here is the machlokes about what Rav Sheshi says. So there are two possibilities. And the Mefarsh explains this, that I am a nazir. That's the first six. He took the first six nidrei nizirut, like they're found in our Mishnah, and how does he get to the last three? The last three are not like what our Mishnah says, but the additional three are created by saying, I'm a nazir, like all the possibilities of nizirut here, or the possibilities of a koi here. What are the possibilities, all the different possibilities of a koi here? It's one possibility is it isn't a behemoth, it's not a behemoth. One other possibility is it's a chaya, it's not a chaya, so that's the next possibility. And the last possibility is that it's not a behemah, not a chaya, or it is a behemah and it is a chaya. So in each of the first six, we see two stadim in each of those things. So he says, I'm a nazir, he takes each of those six, and then he says, I'm a nazir, like anybody who would have a safek about this animal, and they would take these two pictures. So there were three categories in the first set, and I'm a nazir, like those three categories in the first set. That is the position of the mefaresh. Now the Tosvos says, no, what does it mean, v'nizirut hakol alai? VC's nine other people who took the Nidre Nizirut in our Mishnah. So nine people took the sequence that we see in our Mishnah. And this person says, I'm a Nazir, like all of these nine people. So therefore, one individual can replicate that which nine did by being Matpis himself and those nine different people. And that's how he can get to nine as a single individual. That's the explanation of Tosfos. So that's the end of the parak. Now we will start the next parak. Shlosha minim asurim bin Nazir. There are three issues, or three things that a Nazir is restricted in. This we've known from learning Nazir until this point. The first one is Tuma, that he's not allowed to be Metameh L'Metim. That's number one. V'tiglachat, the next is that he can't cut his hair. And the last one is a Yotzei Mina Gefen, anything that is a product of the grape. Chol Yotzei Mina Gefen, Mitzarfim Zanzet. Grape produce, or grape derivatives, all join together to form a single unit for Isur here. What is that unit that you need to be chayav for? That is a kezayit. That is, the isur is generated by a kezayit. So if you're mitzayif, if you join together all the different parts of the grape and create a kezayit, then you will be chayav. Or, if each one individually adds up to a kezayit, then you'll also be chayav for the isur. That's the standard. Mishnah Rishonah merit achishte revi'is yayin. That you have to drink a revi'is yayin. The measurement was volumetric. It was a liquid measurement, and that was a revi'is. Whereas our Mishnah says, which is the Mishnah Achrona now, says that it's kezayit. It's a mass. It's a physical measurement of volume. It's kezayit, not a liquid measurement, but a yavesh, something that's a dry goods measurement, and the kezayit. And we'll see in the Gemara how we dissect that. Now, Rabbi Kiva Omer, Afilu, Rabbi Kiva came along. He's the one who changed it from a revius yayin to even a kezayit. Omer, Afilu shara pito b'yayin. If he dips his bread in wine, and all of it would add together to make a kezayit chayav. So that he changed the measurement from being a liquid volumetric measurement to a dry goods measurement of kezayit. So we'll see, or more explicit on that in the Gemara. V'chayav al yayin b'fnei atzmo, v'al anavim b'fnei atzman, v'al chatzanim b'fnei atzman, v'al zogim b'fnei atzman. We are chayav for each category individually, whether it's wine, whether it's grapes, or it's skins or seeds. All of these items individually you can be chayim for, or if you put them all together. Don't say that the pasuk enumerated each of these items to say you're not chayim until you eat all of them together, but rather each one stands individually and you can be chayim if you violate the nizirut by having any one of these individuals by up to the yisur, or if you jointly with all these items together ate the kezayit that you need to be over the yisur, then you'd also be violating the nedet nizirut. Rabbi Elazar ben Azayi Omer, in chayav, you're not chayav, you chal shnei chartzanim bezag. That that you are not chayiv until you eat two chatzanim and one zag. What's a chatzan and a zag? We're going to see in a second. But at least at this point, we're going to say that you have to eat two pits and one skin. Why is that? Because what's found in the pasuk? It says, chatzanim is found in the plural, and zag is found in the singular. So, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah believes that you're only chayiv if you have two pits and one skin. What's a chatzan and what's a zag? The chatzanim are the skins. Hazagim elu apnimim, and the zagim are the are the pits. So chatzanim are the skins, and the zagim are the pits. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi disagrees. Rabbi Yossi Yemir Shlo Tidei. Don't make a mistake. It's just the opposite. Kizug shel behemah. It's like the bell that's worn by an animal. Achitzon, the outer part of the bell, is called a zug. So too, the zagim in the pasuk mean the skins. Vapanimi invel, and the hammer, the inside is called the invel, and that is what the chatzanim. Those are the pits on the inside. So obviously, it's from zag and zug. Zug is the outer bell, and so too, zagim are the skins. So Rabbi Yossi believes zagim are skins and chatzanim are pits. The opposite of Rabbi Yehuda. And it seems that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is holding like Rabbi Yossi, so it's in the position of Rabbi Yossi that he's saying you need one skin and two pits. Now the Gemara continues. Shlosha minim asurim ben azir b'tumah v'chule. So now the Mishnah says, "Ayotze min hagefen, that which is a grape derivative or a grape or a product of the grapevine in gefen atzmo, but the grapevine itself, no, that he doesn't violate my sneezin to loke Rabbi Elazar. Our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Elazar. The Tanya Rabbi Elazar Omer, we have a position of Rabbi Elazar in the bright, so afilu alin, even the leaves, eviludavim, and the green shoots, the soft green shoots of the vine, you'll be bemashma are included. You'll be chayav for. So not only is it a fruit or a derivative of the vine, something that's going off the vine, but even the vine itself can produce things that are asur, and that's the leaves and the the green shoots, the soft green shoots, which is not like our mitzvah. Our mitzvah says a yosim and a gefen, but not the gefen itself. Some people draw this diuk out of the latter part of the Mishnah. When it says in the latter part of the Mishnah, you're not chayav until you eat from the grapes, from the grapes themselves, yes, but from the vine itself, no. Our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Elazar. Even the leaves or the soft green shoots are included in that which the Nazir is restricting it. But my kmitzlegei, what's the argument between the Tana of our Mishnah and Rabbi Elazar? So it has to do with the way they learn out from the Pesukim. Rabbi Elazar, Darshe Ribuye Umi Ute. There are two different methodologies for darshaning Pesukim, for learning out Pesukim. One was used in Eretz Yisrael, one was used in Babel. But we do see it's Tanayim picking them up from different places. Rabbi Elazar says, Darish Ribuye Umi Ute. He uses the function of Ribuy and Miut. Whereas Rabbanon, our Tana of our Mishnah, used Darshe Klale Uprate. They use the principles of Klal Uprat, which we are more familiar with because of the Rabbi Yishmael that we say each morning. In Rabbi Yishmael, goes through the principles of Klalei Uprate. Rabbi Elazar, Darish Ribuye Umute, he learns out Ribuye Umute. How does a Ribuye and a Miut work? So we have here first, Miyayim B'Sheikha Yazir. It says, Miyayim B'Sheikha Yazir. That is Miyayt. That's a Miut. Mikol Asher Yimeseh Migefen Ayayin. Then it says, anything that you make with the wine. So anything you make with the wine is a riboy, is an inclusionary statement. So you have, first you have miyayin v'sheichar, you have miyayin v'chomet sheichar lo yishteh, so those are individually listed names, and then you have a general principle, or riboy of m'kol asher yaseh migefen ayin. We have a case of miyayt v'riboy, we have a case where it's first it lists individual items, and then riboy includes everything. How do you darshan miyayt v'riboy? Riboy kol. The riboy includes everything. My riba kol milay. My miyet was excluded. Miyet shabishta. The only thing that's excluded from the miyut in the beginning of the pasuk is shabishta, which are the actual vines themselves, but the heart. Once they've hardened already into a wooden form, those are excluded. So the way the miyut viriboy works is that the riboy includes everything, and the miyut comes to exclude one singular item. What's that one singular item that it excludes? That is shabishta. Rabbina darshe klalei uprate. The rabbanon learned the drasha of klal uprat. What do we have? We have miyayin b'sheichar yazir. So the beginning of the first pasuk says miyayin b'sheichar yazir. That's a prat. Mikol asher yaseh migefen ayayin, and that is a klal. Then the pasuk continues v'chatzanim v'zag. It made a prat again. So now you have prat uchlal uprat. So Tosfos points out that klal uprat uchlal and prat klal uprat work the exact same way. And what do we know from Rabbi Yishmael? Klal uprat uchlal ein dan ela ke'ein haprat. So two over here. Yadan elokein haprat. So this is what we're going to see later on in the Gemara, that what's the difference between a klal prat uchlal and a prat uklal prat. But for right now, we'll just assume that they function the same way. So now you have a prat uklal prat. So we only include in the klal, in the general principle, that which is similar to that which is in the detail parts. Ma prat mefurash pri, just like the detailed or the enumerated items in the details were fruits. Oops, solet pri, or the derivative, or the discard of those fruits. Afko pri, oops, solet pri. So everything that will be included are fruits or discards of fruits. Ima prat, so mefurash pri. So what would be included? So here we would include anything that is a derivative of the grape, or is something that is a grape that has deteriorated. The Gemara is going to explain later on and go through us in the details what those are. But until this point, that's not going to include anything from the vine itself. So that would exclude leaves and the little green shoots, because neither of those are pre, neither of those are the fruit, and neither of those are solid pre, or the discards of the pre, because they're not a pre at all. They are the vine itself and not a fruit that comes off of it. And how do we know fruits? We have fruits from the word anavim, and we have discards of the fruits from chometz, from vinegar, which is the discards. You have anavim and yayin, and you have chometz and sheikhar, which are the discards. Okay, we'll see that. The Gemara is actually going to get more explicit with that. Now the Gemara says, why are you saying that the prat is pre-upsolid pre? Maybe we should learn out, ima prat mifuresh pre-gomur, apko pre-gomur. Maybe we should say that since the prat explicitly says fruits, it should only be fruits and not psula fruits. If that's the case, then what did the pasuk leave over? Shalom amru anavim lachim v'yavishim. So what did shalom amru that it didn't say? What did the pasuk not say that you're trying to include? Anavim lachim v'yavishim. If you're talking about moist grapes or dried up grapes, haktivi. That's already written. Yayin b'chometz. You're talking about wine or vinegar, haktivi. Those are both explicit. So if you just included pre, just fruits, then pre gomur, something that's a direct derivative, then it wouldn't be worth, that the inclusion would be valueless, because there's nothing to include. Everything's explicitly written in the pasuk. So what does the inclusion come to do? The inclusion comes to include not only just fruits, but even psolet pri. And now we're going to see how the Gemara learns this. Don't learn like the later lashon, but the first lashon, it includes both pri and psolet pri. Uma achar shasofin l'rabot kodavar matalamar mar chatzini mazag. So if in the end we're going to include everything, then why do you need the pre-root of Chartzani Madag? It would be enough just to have the first prat. The first prat of Chometz Yayin, the Chometz Sheikha, and we would have known everything that. Why do you need Chartzani Madag? If it was just a prat and chlal, then you don't learn it like a klalu pratu chlal. You don't learn it like the prat just determines everything to include, but rather you learn it like a pratu chlal. And therefore, El Anasa Cloud Mosifa or Prat. You have the Prat, and the Cloud just adds a little bit more on. Until it comes and explains it the way it does in Nazir. So let's go back just a little background here quickly. Right? So if you simply had a Prat, which is a detailed statement in the Pasuk, and then a Cloud, a general statement, what does that do? A Pratu Cloud, then the Cloud just comes to add a little more than what the Prat said. The Prat gave you one item. And the klal says, come and add a little more to that, add another item to that. And that's a pratu klal. Whereas a klalu pratu klal, when you have a general statement, then a specific statement, and a general statement afterward, then we're done, ke'in a prat. We say it includes everything. And what's the everything? As long as it matches some general categories of the prat, that which was detailed. So now the Gemara is telling you the same thing by prat u klalu prat. When you have details, then a general statement, and details again, it works like a klalu pratu klal. Because had it simply just been a prat, details, and a klal, you would have included very little. But now that you have a prat, klal, uprat, another prat, details afterwards, now it functions like a klal, uprat, uklal. When it does that, it comes to include everything that is similar to those items that are found in the prat in the detailed section. So because of that, we're going to include much more. We're going to have a prat, uklal, uprat. So now we're going to go back through this whole statement and understand what each piece means. Ma prat mefuresh pri upsolet pri. What does it mean that it's explicitly, the details explicitly enumerate fruits and discards of fruits? Af kol pri upsolet pri. It comes to include other fruits and the discards of fruits. Pri, what's the fruit of the vine, of the grapevine? That is invay. Those are grapes. Psolet pri, what's the discard of the pri? Mahi chometz. That's the vinegar. Af kol pri. So what does that come to include? Pre. What is included from grapes? Now we're saying that's like the prat. Mahi. Goharki. Those are the goharki. What's goharki? So Rashi says Goarki, or the Mefarish says Goarki are anavim dakim. These small types of grapes that are caught in between the other big grapes don't really get to see the sun. These small little grapes that are caught in between. That's what he says. Whereas the Tosafot says that Goarki are boser, unripened grapes. These are unripened grapes. Af kol psolat pri. What is incumbent to be included by psolat pri? If we say the psolat pri, the discard of the pri is the vinegar, what's included by psolat pri? Mahi amar avkana kahana lituye inve. That comes to include, inve dichrin, or according to the Tosas and the Mefarsh, what are inve dichrin? These are grapes that have rotted, that have worms in them, but grapes that generally have rotted. So those rotted grapes are still included. V'adzag, so what do you do? Mechatanim v'adzag. Amaravina lituye de benabinim. So what is adzag comes to include? De benay binim. What are benay binim? So Rashi says it's the part of the grape that's between the skin and the pit. Well, the part of the grape that's between the skin and the pit, that's the grape itself. So that's what Tosfos says. That's what type of inclusion that is. That's the grape. That's a physical grape. So Tosfos brings the name of Rain of Tom, so does the Rosh, the name of Tom, that this Beni Bini are the small grapes that Rashi mentioned before, the small grapes that never see the sun. Those are considered these Beni Bini. Ah, why weren't those included from Boser? We had unripened grapes before, so why isn't these considered unripened grapes? I have to say there's a difference. Unripened grapes, if they're left to ripen, would actually reach a ripe stage. So when you pick them as a Boser, they're included from the case of Pri. They're included from the fruit itself. Whereas when it comes to these types of fruits over here, I'm sorry, when it comes, those are included from Goarki early on. Now, these are grapes that will never, ever grow up. They can never be ripened, and therefore they're left in that status of being unripened grapes. And so even those are included from the word v'adzag, from the prat of adzag. So Gemara says, Amamar ima prat mfuresh prigomor, afko prigomor. Why don't we say the limud of the pratim is that just like it's always a fruit, an actual fruit itself, then everything is a fruit itself. Amar dimkei maniecha ketuv v'mashmo. So Shlomo Amro, what did the pasuk leave out that it didn't include? Anavim lachim v'veishim aktivit. The moist grapes, or the dried out grapes, those are explicitly written in the pasuk. Yain v'chomet aktivit. Yain v'chomet are included. That's why we learn like the other way, which means it includes both fruits and the discards of those fruits. So if we're going to include everything, why do you have the extra terms of chatzni matzag? When you have a normal prat uchlau, then the klau only includes a little more than the prat, but doesn't expand the prat to include everything that's like this prat. Until it includes it the way it does in Nazir. And how does it include in Nazir? By adding an additional prat of mechartaning va'ad zag. And what's the additional statement there? That the additional prat that you add in afterwards, which is mechartaning va'ad zag. We're actually going to continue the Gemara a little bit here since it's a short daf, and we'll get into tomorrow's daf because it flows from here. Well, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, what are you going to do with Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah in the Mishnah who says mechartaning va'ad zag, and he uses those to teach you must have two pits and a skin? What is he going to do? How is he going to create the prat uchlal prat? You're not chayv until you eat two pits in a skin. Pratam and ale. Where does he have the second prat to create the klal pratuchla or keina prat? So savalak, Rabbi Elazar. He can hold like Rabbi Elazar in this machlok is the darish miut miut veriba. He can learn miute and riba, and therefore there's only a miut and a riboy here, and he doesn't need the second prat for anything. That's one possibility answer up for the position of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. The ibay seima kirabonon. That he holds like Rabbanan. If you would think that only comes to teach you what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, then write the chatzanim adzag with the other pratim. If it wasn't coming to teach you prat uklal uprat keina prat, then put the chatzanim adzag before the klal. Put everything together. Put all the pratim first, and then the klal at the end. The fact that it split the pratim up comes to teach us that even what the Chachamim say, that you have a prat uchlau uprat, right? The Maya Hilchasa Katve Batar Klau. Why did it write it after the Klau? Shmamino, the Medinu beklau uprat. Come to teach you that it has a din of klau uprat. The Ema Kule Lahochi Udate. Well, why don't we say Bechatzin Mazak comes to teach you just what the Rabbanan say, that it's a prat uchlau uprat, and it's Kain uprat. Imgen loch tov, o shnei chatzanim, o shnei zagim. Let it write in plural, chatzanim and zagim being consistent, or chatzan vizag, or write them both in the singular. My hilchasot katav rachmana, why did it switch between chatzanim in plural, at zag in singular? Shema mino, the midrash bei, kvalu prad. Right? Number two, it comes to teach you two things. One thing is because the prat found after the cloud comes to teach you, like the chachamim, that this is like a cloud prat of cloud that we're danking a prat. Vegan, I'm in the midrash me, and also to learn from this, to teach you that like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says in our Mishnah, that only until you've eaten two pits and a skin are you chayav. So we'll stop here and we'll continue with the Gemara tomorrow, just for a quick summary. So far we had in the Gemara here, we had a machlokus between Rabbi Elazar and the Tanakam of our Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar says that even parts of the vine are included in the restriction of the Nazir, not just the produce of the vine, not just the grapes, the wine, and those off the derivatives of the vine, but even the vine itself, the small green shoots or the leaves would be included in the restriction of the Nazir. And the Gemara says that this machlokas derives from the way that they darshan or they learn in the Pesukim. The Rabbi Lazar learns it from a riboy and miut. And when you have a riboy and miut, we have a miut first, then a riboy. The miut comes to tell us to exclude one thing. What's that one item? That's the hard branches, the stems of the vines. When they're wood, that you can't, that the Nazir is not restricting it. But riboy, riba kol, it includes everything else. So everything else is included. That's what Rabbi Lazar learns. To come and learn, no, that we're going to darshan kiklale uprate, the dinim of klalu prat. The dinim of klalu prat work like this. And when you have a prat, some enumerated details, then a klal, a general principle, and additional enumerated details, we learn ke'en a prat. It's similar to what we say in Rabbi Shmuel every morning, klal prat u klal, in a dan ke'en a prat. We only learn like the prat. So meaning that everything's included, but what does it mean everything's included? It has to look like those items that are detailed out. It has to be similar in general categories to that which is included in the detailed list. And we said, what is the categories of that detailed list? We said it has to be a pre, or psolet pri, it has to be some derivative of the vine, or some discard of the derivative of the vine, and that we know from yayin and chometz, and from anavim, and from chometz, from grapes, and from vinegar. So we know anything with that looks like grapes or vinegar are going to be included. So we said all the items that are included, we said a boser was included, an unripened grape. We said that rotten grapes are included. We also said that these small grapes that never ripened are included. Those are all included because those are derivatives of the vine. But the vine itself, when you talk about the little green shoots or the leaves, those won't be included because they don't look anything like the enumerated details that are in the pasuk. The last thing we did in the Gemara today was with Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who uses the Chatzanim Hadzag to teach you must eat two pits and a skin. How does he get to the same conclusion as the Chum? So we gave two possible answers for that. One is that he doesn't hold like the Chum and he holds like Rabbi Elazar, and therefore he can use the Chatzanim Hadzag for whatever he wants. Or number two is he even holds like the Chachamim, but the placement of Chatzanim Zag after the Klal comes to teach us what the Rabbanan told us, that it's a Prat, Uchlal, a Prat, and it's Ke'in a Prat. And the fact that it was the puzzle was inconsistent in writing Chatzanim and Zag, one in plural and one in singular, comes to teach us what Rabbi Elazar and one in Zariah wants to teach us, that you have to have two Chatzanim and one Zag. We'll stop here.